I call the House Finance Committee meeting to order. Today is Tuesday, March 24th, 2020, and the time is 9:34. Members present, Representative Knopp, Representative Laban, Vice Chair Foster, Representative Josephson, Representative Wool, Representative Merrick, and myself, Representative Johnston. On today's agenda, we'll be hearing Senate Bill 155, Exploration and Mining Rights, and Senate Bill 134, Medicaid Coverage of License Counters, and SB 52, Alcohol Beverage Control. Please silence your cell phones. First off is Senate Bill 155, an act relating to exploration and mining rights relating to an annual labor requirements with respect to mining claims and related leases, relating to statements of annual labor, defining labor, and providing for an effective date. And we've been joined by Representative Tilton and Representative Sullivan Leonard. Do we need a brief reintroduction? We had this a couple days ago. Do you want another reintroduction? Are there any committee discussions on this bill? Then Representative Foster.
Yes, Madam Chair, I move the committee substitute for a sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 155, Resources, version 31-LS1278/G, from committee with the attached fiscal note and individual committee recommendations.
Are there any objections? I see no objections. Senate Bill 155 will be passed out of committee. And I need to remind everybody, including myself, if we go too fast, we need to stay to sign bills.
We got the wrong. Not coronavirus.
We need to take an at ease.
Are you all right?
Yeah. Okay.
Senate Bill 134, an act relating to medical assistant reimbursement for the services of licensed professional counselors and providing for effective date. Do we need a brief introduction on this? Any committee discussion? There is a fiscal note. Would people like my staffer, Aaron Schein, to please come to the table and introduce herself for the new fiscal note?
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Aaron Schein, staff to Representative Johnston and the Finance Committee. The House Finance Committee has written a fiscal note. It was brought to our attention that the mental health bill has passed already, and there was mental health general fund funds that were in the previous fiscal note. So there needed to be a fund source change to fund source code 01004, which is general fund, UGF, and you can find that under the fund source code section, and it's the $911,200. And that's something that's possibly could be switched back possibly in a subcommittee or in the budget process next year. But since the mental health bill has passed, it needs to be switched to general fund for this fiscal note.
Are there any questions? Representative yes. Josephson?
Through the chair for Ms. Schein. So previously that $911,000 was funded how?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, it was with fund source code 1037, which was general fund mental health. That is still UGF. It's still a UGF fund, but it's just coded differently to track unrestricted general fund dollars that are spent on mental health mental health items in the budget.
Thank you. Representative Knopf.
Thank you. So I didn't follow that, Aaron. So is it mental health dollars now or not? State UGF?
Through the chair, Representative Knopf, it is still UGF. This is not to be confused with MTAR, which is Mental Health Trust Authorized Receipt or Authority Receipts. That's a different fund source. This is just a designation of general fund dollars that are for mental health purposes. It's purely a designation to track the funding through the UGF fund source code.
Is there any other questions for Ms. Schein, or does the committee have any other things that they'd like to discuss for this bill? Seeing none, Representative Foster.
Yes, Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 134, version 31-LS1261/A from committee with the attached fiscal note and individual committee recommendations.
Is there an objection? Seeing no objection, Senate Bill 134 moves from this bill committee. Next, and because there does seem to be members that would like to go down at 10 for their pictures. I hate having my picture taken, but that's all right. We will begin the introduction of Senate Bill 52, and then we'll take a brief at ease or recess for the pictures. Could Senator Machicki and his staff, Conrad Jackson, please come to the table and introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of House Finance. My name is Senator Peter Machicki, District O.
Good morning, Chair Johnston, Conrad Jackson, staff to Senator Machicki.
And Madam Chair, I'll give a very brief introduction because we have an overview that Anna Brawley with Agnew Beck will cover. And I will just tell you, I'm not going to use any notes here. This bill is about rebalancing where we are in the alcohol industry after 35 years of a hodgepodge of sort of things getting thrown in, many thrown in by this body and the body across the hall. As we try to meet the needs of an ever-changing industry. This effort is a nine-year effort, 8 years of bills with a group of stakeholders, including public safety, public health, legislators, the industry, the ABC board, and the public. It's about promoting a fair business climate, protection of public health and safety, limiting youth access to alcohol, expanding local control for municipalities, promoting responsible alcohol use and reducing the harms of overconsumption, and implementing change without negatively harming existing businesses and responsible operators. You're going to go through learning about the bill if you haven't already, and what you're going to see is that every one of you are going to want to change something in this bill because you may or may not be aware of the efforts that have kind of gotten us to this point. All I ask is that you keep an open mind and sort of ask about why we are at the place we are at. I had some of those natural inclinations about improving things as a legislator, and I will tell you that any of the changes in this bill often have taken months and many meetings to get to that point, such as the local control options that we improved with municipalities. No one gets everything they want in this bill, but everybody gets something. And the philosophy is that a rising tide floats all boats. It's not about protecting your piece. It's about sharing and expanding pie. And as we climb out of this COVID-19 thing, I'm not going to make this bill about that because suddenly every bill is about COVID-19. But I am going to say that there are things that are important for the visiting industry, for resorts, for bars, for municipalities, for breweries, for distilleries. Again, everybody gets something, nobody gets everything. And with that, I'm going to hand it off to Anna Brawley, Madam Chair, if that's okay. And she will go through the presentation. And if Anna, you can just say, after you introduce yourself for the record, if you can say click or next slide, I'll be happy to move through it.
Could you please put your name on the record and begin your presentation?
Thank you, Chair Johnston. My name is Anna Brawley. For the record, up here in Anchorage with Agnew Beck Consulting, Title IV Review Coordinator. And I will go through the slides. Please feel free to stop me with questions. Moving to slide two. Again, this, as Senator Machicki said, this project is the product of many years of work, and as he alluded to, alcohol is not like other commodities. It's always a balance between the social and economic benefits of alcohol against the social harms or social costs of its misuse. Next slide. As the senator said, this is the product of 8 years of work, over 120 stakeholders, and again, there's just been a lot of discussion about pretty much each section in this bill. Next slide. Slide four provides an overview of the diverse stakeholders who were involved, public health and safety, law enforcement, each tier of the industry, community advocates, local governments, a very diverse group bringing different perspectives to this bill. Next slide. On slide five, you can see the goals of the process. Again, this is a comprehensive review to make Title IV work better for everyone. It began in 2012, actually brought by the ABC board to identify all the different issues that their different stakeholders had brought and said, we really need to come together and improve these laws. So again, the goals are to promote a fair business climate and protect public health and safety, and to make Title IV a clear and consistent legal framework, really cleaning up a lot of the issues that have been piled on over the years. Next slide. There's some key concepts in Title IV that we'll discuss briefly as they relate to the bill, the three-tier system, the difference between a license and a permit. Again, a license is something that allows a business to serve or sell alcohol or other privileges for 2 years, so essentially it's core to their business, versus a permit, which is a time-limited, you know, one-time event or a specific occasion that can be done by a licensee or non-licensed. We'll also discuss population limits, and we'll introduce a new concept, endorsements. Next slide. The three-tier system is something that actually predates statehood. It's something that was developed at the national level after Prohibition, and every state has a version of this. It essentially says that those who manufacture beer and those who distribute beer should be separate from those who are selling beer to the public. This was designed to prevent monopolies within the industry. But as I said, it's an 80-year law, or more than 80 years. And so there's a lot of developments that have happened since then. And again, the balance that's being struck in this bill and is always a challenge is between the system that already exists and the changes in the industry and the changes in consumer demand. Next slide. On slide eight, you can see there's different categories of recommendations. These corresponded to subcommittees that met for multiple years to discuss these various issues in Title IV. Alcohol licensing, the function of the ABC board and their staff, AMCO, the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office, underage drinking, the regulation of internet sales of alcohol. This is an area of particular interest across the board, as Alaska is one of the only states that does not currently regulate alcohol sales. And then a lot of the bill and a lot of the discussion was really around technical changes to make the laws work better for everyone. And there was also discussion about local option. I'll just note that local option here means dry or damp communities and not local control or local licensing generally. So there are a couple targeted provisions in the bill on this topic, but not significant changes to local option laws. Next slide. The next three slides, 9, 10, and 11, provide a general overview of the reorganization of licenses. Again, most of these, if not all of them, already exist in law. They are either being renamed, renumbered, or in the case of manufacturing licenses, being split into a manufacturing or production license separate from a retail license allowing sales to the public. The slide also provides which endorsements, which I'll cover shortly, would be associated with each license. So slide 10 shows the retail level licenses that are under population limits now and would be proposed to be kept under population limits. The wholesale and manufacturing licenses would be exempt from population limits as they're not serving the public. The purpose of population limits is to limit the number of outlets of alcohol selling to the public in order to protect public health and safety, as there is an association between population limits and negative impacts such as crime. Slide 11 shows the additional retail licenses, again, most of which already exist in the statutes that serve primarily tourists, and so they are exempt from population limits. This slide also shows the license types that are provided, that are proposed to be removed from statute and would be replaced essentially or converted into other license types to streamline the system. Sure. Next slide.
On one
slide
second,
12.
Please. Representative Wall.
Are we asking questions now, or are you just going to roll through this? I know what your preference is, but I'm
no, no, no. Could you take a less question from Representative Wall?
Yes, Chair Johnson, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You're talking about license types. How many are there now, and how many will there be after in the new proposed Title IV?
Through the chair, Representative Wall, let's see, I would need to count them, 5, 12, 16. There would be 16 license types. There are currently, I believe there are 16 license types now. The brew pub would go away, bottling works, and public convenience licenses. So it would essentially not materially change the number of licenses. It would simply reorganize them.
Follow-up?
Okay, I thought that number now was like in the 27 area or something, but I guess maybe it's a definition question. And REPL, is that population determined, or does that have some local option currently and proposed? And if, I mean, you haven't really talked about license types, but I see it up on the wall, so.
Yes, through the chair, Representative Wool. Going back to slide 10, there is a restaurant or eating place license, that's the REPL, that is currently under population limits. On slide 11, however, the reference to public convenience, there is a process that an applicant can use to apply for an additional restaurant license outside of population limits if it serves, quote, public convenience as determined by the board. So that is in current statute. The proposal is to replace the public convenience system with a system that allows cities to apply for additional restaurant licenses, not tied to an individual application, but say, you know, a city would want 5 more restaurant licenses that could be issued in their jurisdiction. It also proposes a seasonal REPL tourism, which would be outside of population limits and which would be available to smaller communities to operate on a seasonal basis, which is similar to how some restaurants operate today.
Follow-up.
So is this unchanged from the version of Title IV we saw a couple years ago? Because I know some things have changed, and I haven't been keeping up with all the changes. But the public convenience is taken away. So is it that a municipality has to sort of apply for some licenses in advance, and they can only do this only so many X number of years, and then once they exhaust that supply, they have to wait a certain period of time?
Senator Maticky?
Ms. Brawley, I can get that, and we will be covering all of that in the presentation in the coming slides, but there's no wait. It's an annual thing now that was amended, and you can apply for as many licenses. You would provide an application to the ABC board and say, in our community, we have 2 logos that would like to locate here, but we think we can draw in a couple others, and we want to apply for 4 this year. The municipality would get to bank a couple of them, still managed by AMCO, but would get to bank a couple of them and use that to sort of draw a new opportunity to their community for a restaurant and eating place license.
Okay. Representative Knopp?
I just had one question for Ms. Brawley. When you talk about the population limits, I've always been curious if those population limits are based on what, as far as how did we derive the numbers? Are they scientific? Are they negotiated numbers? How do we get to, specifically, I talk, you know, when I see the change in this bill, it took, I think, breweries from 3,000 to 12,000. I'm just wondering, is there any science in how we get to them numbers?
Through the chair, Representative Knopp, there is a formula in statute. There's a slide a few slides from now that I'll cover it if you'd like me to.
Yep, that would be fine.
That.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please continue.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Slide 12. This is moving into some of the highlights of the licensing recommendations. As I said, most would be renumbered and not fundamentally changed. That one proposal is to split the existing brewery, winery, and distillery licenses. So as the slide says, this is just an example. It would apply to all 3. Currently, a manufacturing license allows for limited retail sales through what's called a tasting room. And those manufacturing licenses are not allowed other retail licenses, such as a bar or a package store. The exception is a brew pub license, which I'll cover on the next slide. The bill would split this license into two different licenses. One would be a production license and be either the limited retail license with limited hours and sales per customer, et cetera. And it would also allow them to obtain an existing retail license with no production or sales limit. So if you go to the next slide, 13, again, the one area where this is allowed is what's called a brew pub. So it's an attachment to a bar license. So instead of having two different types of brewing operations, this would allow for a production license and a retail license, and those that already have full retail licenses would be able to continue operations without having a production limit on what they can make now. So, for example, existing brew pubs can only produce so many gallons per year. Next slide.
I have a question about that.
Representative Wohl, and after Representative Wohl's question, we'll be recessing to the call of the chair, so just for a heads up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So on that diagram, it says brewery and then REPL. So with a current manufacturing license, absent of a brew pub license, can a current manufacturer who sells beer get a REPL and sell beer and wine and be under the same stipulations of an REPL, or do they have to get an endorsement for a retail tasting room? Or could they have both?
Through the chair, Representative, well, a brewery cannot obtain a retail license currently. So if you have a brewery license, you are only allowed to do those limited retail sales because that's part of the existing license. So they are not able to get a bar license or a package store or a restaurant. And that's part of the, as I mentioned, the original three-tier system, which prevents manufacturers from having retail licenses. So this is proposing changing that.
Well, okay. So my question, follow-up, the three-tier system, but the breweries are already selling retail, so that three tiers no longer. But can breweries under the proposed Title IV that we're looking at, can they obtain an REPL, a restaurant eating place license, sell beer and wine, stay open until serve till 11 o'clock, et cetera, et cetera? Currently, can a brewery with a manufacturer get an REPL? I'm not currently, under the proposed Title IV.
Through the chair, Representative Wohl, that's correct, provided that they are under a certain threshold of size. So if they make less than 300,000 barrels per year, which is currently higher than any of the current manufacturers in the state.
Less. So if a brewery has a quote-unquote tasting room that has followed the rules of tasting room, they could also simultaneously have an REPL?
Through the chair, Representative Wohl, the proposal in the bill does not prohibit that.
Okay.
So we will recess to the call of the chair. Thank you.